quarter. You certainly need some time back to receive your apologies for last week, though we were informed of that some time ago, but we also thank you for changing from Tuesday to Monday to suit us. Thank you very much. Now, I'm Joan Fuss, the chairperson of the trade industry, and on my right, just joining me again, is Mr. Herman, the committee secretary, with whom I know you've kept in close contact throughout, and we will continue to keep in contact with you on the process. On my left, and the lady who brought you in, is the content specialist of the committee, Ms. Hurley. But facing you are a fair reflection of the members of the Portfolio Committee of Trade and Industry. Others who aren't here are sitting in other committees and so on. So I think that on your left you're probably looking at some of the names of the committee members now. And the way we will proceed with this, getting a little bit further knowledge and sharing and a conversation with you will be through asking a few questions. And as soon as the question is answered, please respond immediately by switching on the mic, and when you believe you have completed that response, just switch off the mic, and the next question will follow. And please, there is some water there. Please feel free to help yourself to that. Right, honourable members, it's over to us now. Honourable Van der Westhuizen, Honourable Kamalo, Honourable Mabasa.
Thank you, Chief. Welcome to this committee. And we've received your CV. We've gone through that. But we would like you also to orally tell us about your past experience and relate that to the possible contribution that you would be able to make to the National Lottery Board. Also, while answering, if you could tell us what do you see as the main criteria for a board member, what would make up an ideal board member for the National Lottery. Thank you.
Thank you very much. My background is I'm a practicing attorney. I'm also a transport economist. I'm also a community activist. As you may be having my CV, I studied through correspondence at my entire studies. And I've got a business experience. I worked for a number of years for Mobil Oil. And then I also worked for the African National Congress. I started around 19. I started the border, cross-border road transport agency for the government. I drafted the law. I then chaired it as executive and then changed into non-executive. I ran the border. While I was doing that, I was the regulator in fact of transport, which deals with the trading industry issues. I also was given the responsibility by government to regulate housing. I was a regulator of transport and housing. I was doing two jobs. And then I became, after 1994, I chaired Gazangulu Development Corporation, Venda and Milibowa. I combined them to form one in Milibowa, which is a Northern Development Corporation. I then chaired the mine, which was owned by the government. I sold 51%, which I mean, for the coal, the coal mine in Limpopo. That is my background.
Sorry, I addressed you incorrectly as African. Thank you. Sorry, Mr. Limpopo.
Thank you, Honourable Kamalo. And Honourable Chen.
With the
what do you aim to say is main function of the national board?
Or not board?
The lottery as a concept was introduced in South Africa by the people to try to alleviate the burden of government in the development of certain sectors by collecting money from the public in an organized way. And you remember before 1994 there was no lottery in Zimbabwe. But it was realized that there is a need to do this in order to assist the cost, which to alleviate, to strengthen non-governmental institutions, to be able to move money here and there to assist and empower communities. If you look into the legislation, it talks about promotion of this cause, helping communities, helping people. And in order to do that, they established two tiers. You know, with the board, you know, with the DA, DA stands for Development Agency, who actually are supposed to be people on the ground, be there in arts, education, and others, who could then recommend to the board that money should be given for this and that cause. So they are the main function of the lottery is to assist community. Ethically, you better use money to develop others, even if you don't win, as long as you know that you put money there for the cause, other than putting it for other things that are not necessarily tied to the community. That was the thinking when it was founded.
One of the functions of the board is to advise the minister on the efficacy of the current legislation. In your opinion, what are some of the challenges in the implementation of the legislation? Are there any areas and issues that you maintain should be brought to the immediate attention of the minister?
Yes, the act has got issues. Firstly, the money that needs to be dispersed to communities is done within established parameters, and the parameters are very narrow. You cannot give money for crime prevention. You cannot give money for health. It specifically tells you arts, education, and this. That's why there's been an outcry that there was money sitting with the National Lottery Board, which was something to say. Because the causes which are to be held are defined. So legislation must broaden the cause. It should say that even the minister can have power to say, give money to these causes and others, but it needs to be changed. That has been submitted to through trade industry to parliament, but we haven't had anything. There are real problems with the legislation. The other problem that we have is the DA. You've got development agencies. As I said, these are the people who are supposed to be on the ground. The question is whether those people are really on the ground, because they monitor, and you find that, let's take for example the arts. The person who chairs the art will be an artist himself or herself. That person will also make an application to himself to get an allocation. Now, when you talk about the conflict, you see the conflict there. Now, when such things happen, the board is instructed to pay. Then when the board realizes that they will be paying money to, this will be ready. Then they stop it. They said, no, we can't do this, we want to be quiet. Then you have an outcry that we have been delayed, we are doing that. I'm talking about the conflict of interest. So the act must be very articulative in terms of that. And also because you have a development agency, you may need to get professional people to also be involved there to assist because to avoid people serving themselves or recommending that they should. There are a number of cases that we still determine, which are some of them are on because of this, the quality of people that you need to, the members of the year need to be properly defined, like maybe you're looking at the quality of board members. Maybe the same rigor must go through the DA with the hope that they will understand the ethics of it and sign a code of conduct and then followed by training to understand how to evaluate. It's like a tender. You evaluate the thing and I can give an example. You get an application which says so and so in the trans guy they want 40 million rand to put up a structure. It goes to the DA and they recommend that yes, just give them 40 million rand. Then you go up and say, but how much is the total infrastructure going to cost us? 150 million. Now, if you give 40 million, now who is going to give the other money? You find that there's no one. Then you're going to put a ruling, something that is not going to serve the cost. And that normally costs a strain between the board. But if people are trained to understand that these are the type of questions that you need to ask, this is how you should evaluate, you won't have such things. That's another example. Another example would be our own forms. Our forms require that you must have a track record, present a balance sheet. Me, it's a good idea. An organization is new, but it is aiming at doing something for the community. But because these people were not in existence before, they don't have a balance sheet. But it's a requirement, if you don't have a balance sheet, you won't get it. So those are some of the things that need to be rectified. There will be short-term issues and long-term issues. Legislative issues will be long-term. But what is required is to deal with short-term relationship between the board and the DA so that they can work together, have a complete understanding. At the moment, there is no such understanding. Between the one pushes a blame on the other, and then you see the press saying this and that, and you end up not knowing the truth.
Thank you very much, Honorable Lavinia. Thank you, Honorable Chair. Good afternoon, Mr. Negoda. There are NGOs and other institutions that are dependent on the provision of promised lottery funding to implement some of their programs. And often this funding is not provided within, you know, the appropriate time frame to enable this institution to perform their mandate. How would you address this delay that I experienced in the distribution of the fund? And also, Mr. Negoda, in your previous response, you alluded to the strains that are exist between the National Lottery Board and the distributing agencies. What remedial actions would you propose to actually try and deal with this alien connection between the two?
Maybe I should start with the last one. The question of relationship is also an institutional problem. You know, who's who, who's with whom, what. It can be solved by joint training. It can be solved by maybe when you are interviewing agencies. I don't know whether it's done by the portfolio committee, but to get some members of the board to actually sit there. Because there is it's a contested terrain for supremacy. Others said, we don't report to you, we report to the minister, and we don't report to the board. So that needs to be thoroughly explained. When they've been appointed, I think the minister must address them and say, these are your responsibilities, these are tasks of relationship framework that you will be operating from. While we are looking at further problems within legislation, because this should be short term. Joint training helps training people to understand the work. Now you are coming up with, you are asking a question about there are people who need money immediately. It's true. I'll give you an example of in the trans car it was. I wanted to erect chimpanzee tombstone. So this was being delayed, the manager of the function. I remember them coming to my place. I went to the chairperson and said, I think we need to do something about it. And I convinced them. There is some money and clearing that can be dispersed, and that money was given to those people. We found later, out later, that when we wanted this and that for explanation, that members of that trustee, or the trustees of that organization, are actually sharing that money. The builder of the tombstone is earning. The person who said it, the professor doing research, they are sharing that money, they've set up a trustee and put themselves as employees, which is helping that problem. Now, it's caused a lot of problems, including political problems. So you come across such things. Now what you need somebody to go out there to verify whether what is being said. Maybe you also need not to pay the money directly to the people to say, we pay you on progress. You know, if when you do this and that, to avoid those things, there may be some other dynamics that can come to that. But there are also real causes that need to be done. So a fund within a fund can be established to deal with emergency situations. I think that should be done. Either it's the chairman's fund, or within the board, there's a committee that deals with those things that are emergent. We had a you know that the Minister of Arts and Culture, because of the other, they get involved as well. They would phone to say that we need this to be done quickly, and they're doing some good things. And then later on you find that actually what they were pushing, they didn't have full knowledge of what was going to happen. And they end, we end up with an egg in our face. We have what the Jet Foundation is like right now, where a person was given 18 years of rent with conditions, and never fulfilled those conditions. When we said, look, the agreement is that if you pay more than, you get more profit on this, you must pay back the money on this. The person said, I never made profit. Employed auditors to audit. They also brought their auditors, and they wanted to go to court. We were also afraid of placing this in the public and, you know, to soil our talks in public. We wanted to talk, guys, you can't do this. We experience those things, what we are dealing with money. And the cooperation you get from people at the beginning, when you are given the money, when you say, now report to this, you don't get it. Now the challenge is, we need a framework to actually deal with those things. And that is DA and the board. We need to find that. I would recommend that when the board is appointed, there must be a workshop which will reflect on all these experiences between the DA and the board, what has happened, and what is not, we do not want to see. There was an oversight committee that the board set, and which the press said was delaying, but it was appointed for the purpose of verifying and monitoring. When they said, we recommend that this money be paid, so that committee will go and check, is it true, is it, and we found one more thing. It was not true. But then they said, no, it was delaying, and the minister dropped that committee. And then when we met with the minister, we said, according to the act, if there are problems, they must be referred to the minister. Will you deal with the problem? No, it's too much of my mind. But there is a need to deal with that. Otherwise, you will have a big scandal.
Very much. Are there any other questions here? I see a little bit of dialogue there. Honorable Nicolana, Honorable Kadebe.
Just share with us, what did you identify as the strategic object to contract priority for the board? For the next 5 years. Generalized objectives, strategic, extractive, some priority once the board is established. One side. But linked to that, what system and processes do you think the board should implement to monitor and evaluate the progress on those very objectives and priorities?
The first thing, once the board is appointed, that needs to be done, will be to identify areas of obstacles. Like the committee is concerned about the delay. We jointly, the board and the DA, let's use some of the members here to workshop as to what are the areas of concern that we need to identify. We identify those areas. And then together with that, what will be the best way of approaching it? Because this is done by the board only. It will affect the DA without them involved. This is done by the two and the new people who are actually having oversight on those. You don't know about it. Anything that you read in the paper, you may believe. So it needs all of us to take time and say, let's identify where the problems were. For a week or two, we can say to management, let's have all those concerns identified. And then we also need to go to find from the community, because you will find people phoning that they've submitted their application, and then they never receive acknowledgement and everything. It's a weakness of the office. You get applications getting lost. And you are dealing with people, some of them are not that educated. Now you need to get the consent, you know, just to pick up some and say that, what is your problem? We know some of the problems. Then you can end up with things like institutionalizing, having a help desk, just to complete that form. There are people who do not have access to the local board, because they can't complete those things. It becomes difficult, sophisticated to them. And then when it comes, just a small thing is retained. That is the delay that Honorable Member was talking about. It's a return because it's not complete, and the person doesn't know because you're not schooled. In order to do it, you need to go to an auditor, and you need to pay money. And then they say, we don't pay money for professors. So there are contradictions which can be revealed when we are together. Your question on, can you just repeat the last question for me?
You work out your purpose, objectives, and priorities. But obviously, the logical sequence to put in systems and processes to monitor and evaluate progress now when implementing those objectives. What kind of systems? That's
something that I've been talking and trying about. The day when you receive an application, all I should see from different points, it must record somewhere that it has been received. There must be the number of days within which that application must be addressed. So that even the applicant would know that it has been received, and then within 10 days it shall have been adjudicated. So you don't have those things. So you need to have that, the day of receipt, acknowledgement, the date within which it will be adjudicated, and the date within which you need to get an answer. Now, when you've done that, then you get the IT system that will show you, if you go to a certain code, you press it, you'll be able to know where your application is. You don't have those things. You know that my application is receiving. My application is receiving attention. And then, if you are a community leader, let's say you are somewhere in KwaZulu-Natal, people say we have applied. You know the code, you just go and check, and they say that your application is receiving attention. You don't have to go. But you know there is a deadline within which you need to get back. So we need to build that system. We don't have. So that it will give confidence to. The question of delay will be a different matter, because if it does, they don't work within that system, then there is a culprit. A member of management must be disciplined for not actually following that. That's really what we need.
Thank you. Honorable Member Lester.
Thank you. One of the core duties of the members of the Lottery Board is to appoint the Chief Executive Officer.
Now, how do you understand the difference between the roles of the chief executive officer and the board? And also, how do you see the relationship between the board, the minister, and parliament?
Firstly, there is another element. You also have a chief operating officer. You have a COO, whose responsibility is to deal with agents, development agents, and to receive the complaints from the community. It's a new post. Since that person was appointed, there has been a lot of improvement. Then you have the CEO, who is appointed by the board. Of course, the board will recommend the minister. The board, it is prescribed in the Act, advises the minister. If there are problems, as I'm enumerating them, they must be elevated to and advise the minister. But we need a recommendation. We recommend that we change the Act to 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. The board sets the policy. The board should be the face. Although there's a CEO really is the face, but the board should be closer to the community than it is currently the position. You know, it must have its own activity. That shows that there is a lottery, and the objectives of the lottery are these, in different languages, so that the community can understand that it is there for them. This is the gap that I perceive needs to be addressed. Then the minister, of course, should constantly meet with the board. You've seen the debacle between Utingo, when Utingo was going out and others. The problem was, which was difficult for the board, to get a signature from the minister. So, if I were the I was the legislator myself, I would ingrain that a minister must meet with his board so many times, even if it's once a month. Because if it doesn't happen, it translates into the damage that you saw when there was no lottery in the country, when we were waiting only for the signature of the minister. So there must be awareness on both sides, which the minister must feel obliged that, hey, I must do this. Just as the board writes a letter, when you see the minister that is. And the official keeps the letter. That's what makes the minister. Or when the minister receives it, he hands over to the official. And the official doesn't attend to it. As it is now, the official who is supposed to represent the minister, it's not part of the board, it's not there. And no one knows about it. But it's got its own damage. There is no flow of information from the board to the department and to the minister. So you need responsibilities from all the tiers. People must agree to work together. And really that is, I'm saying, mindful.
Thank you very much, Honorable Khadebe.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. As Mr. Nagota has clearly distinguished the work of the executive officer and the work of the board. So as a board member, how would you ensure that the realistic targets for the CEO are set and that he or her performance measured accurately or fairly?
Like any other business, the CEO, there must be a performance agreement signed between the board and the CEO. There's a job there which is very high tech. Like for example, we're dealing with Kitani, which is the responsibility of the board to make sure that they have the right technology, they update the technology. You may find that you've got a company that is in partnership, like we've got this Greek. Now, you don't know whether the technology you are using is the up-to-date technology. So the CEO is the person who should be looking around to check what technology are they using in Egypt where they operate, in Malaysia and others? Are they not dumping to us? Because there's that possibility. So you write those things in the agreement that you will advise the board now and then about the type of technology that our partners are using, the commitment that they have to, and if there is any mishap which is happening in their own organization, it must be known by us. You may find, if you read, that a member of this organization in Malaysia has been arrested doing this and that, and this person is operating our lottery, you must have the cause for concern. But the first call will be the CEO must be on an actual charge. The CEO must be unified. He must be an element. He must unify. Yeah. All staff members, ladies, gentlemen, all of them, they must work as a team. If he cannot lead and unify those people, then that's a failure. So you need to articulate those things. And then he signs an agreement. Then he evaluates him on the basis of those things. And he has performance. But if you just quiet, like a government employee, you're a director, and you're not in contract, you get well, you will not see the result. Because this must be, and the impact of not performing is seen in the communities when people, industrial relationships, people marching against the CEO, doing all sorts of things, become the senior management person.
Thank you. Honorable Kamala. What high level of possibility are you currently involved in? For example, is board membership or senior level of management?
So, the term of the board is coming to an end now in November. Before then, it was extended. The first board, which is this board, had a lawyer and all other members. So there was a vacancy. After some time, I was the last one to come in because they wanted continuity at the time. Some of the members said we were here. I was brought in so that when this board dissolves, there must be one member whose term of office has not yet come to an end. That was going to be me. So my interpretation is that I should not have been nominated because my own term is not expiring. Because if all our terms, all of us term of office come to an end the same day, you don't have continuity. You've got no one who knows what was happening before, and I tried to raise this to the department. I said, by the way, when they said you need to be added, by the way, I should not be nominated because I came in specifically to deal with issues of continuity. And I saw the letter that I received, people didn't understand, I just left it. But just imagine when you've got a new board, and you've got a Gidani which is new, you've got a new board, I can tell you, you'll have a crisis. Some of the provisions that Gidani has made will not be carried on because there will be no institutional memory. I think it makes sense. So I'm there, I was there to be able to, when their term of office expires, I will be a carryover. But it seems to have been lost in the air. So I'm a board member then. And I'm also, for legal issues that come out, I'm the one who looks at them. Like the first minister then case. I look at them and say, okay, you can defend it very well. And I advise them, don't do this and that. That's the role that I play.
Thank you. Honorable Mandavetsa.
Thank you. Mr. Gorta, can you please just tell me, when did you become a member of the Lodge for what year?
I think you can go to that one, but I came in when the first term of those people expired. When it expired, when they were going in, they wanted me to become a chairperson. memorial. I said, look, your chairperson is a full-time person. So I'm running a law firm. I cannot be a chairperson. So they said, okay, Joe will continue to just be a member of the board because we need a person from the legal profession. That's how it happened. But you can check on the record. I'm not exactly, but this is exactly what happened.
So I'll just intervene there for a minute. Obviously one will consult on this, but I don't think advocate obviously peruse a lot of these issues. So rather than belabor the point now and pursue it, then let's move on. Are there any other questions, honourable members? Honourable and best case.
Do you know how many of these community-based organizations and non-governmental organizations depend on the money, as we've said before, but many deserving organizations find it very difficult? I think you also referred to that in an earlier answer. Now, what suggestions do you have to ensure that we can improve the access of some of these organizations who don't have the capacity to really apply properly for funding, to improve their access or to ensure that they can access the funds from the National Lottery Board? Do you have any ideas, suggestions on that that you would like to share with us?
I think the first thing that we need to do is to categorize organizations. You will have category A, B, C, and D. And in your office, you meet a person like in a business center, say, a business development office. We also, as a board, must be active. You have somebody who actually goes. So let's just say in Mpumalanga, you don't get enough people in Mpumalanga. It doesn't mean that there are no problems in Mpumalanga. They do not know about it. So you get a person who goes to the community, identify the needs of the community. Then you can categorize that under a certain category. Because you need to reach the people. Now, when you receive applications, category A, there are those that definitely will need to be a staff coaching up to this amount. Category B will need this. Category C may not even need that. There may be even, you can even recommend as members that there is this organization that is, can you look at this and grant it? I think we need to be flexible in that. As long as we check that there is no fraud, and that there is a real organization. Some of the organizations we need to fund because our communities are not as highly literate to get them. We need to start organizations, motivate community workers to come up with something. That would be my advice.
Thank you. Honorable Khadebe.
Thank you, Chairperson. There's something which we know that it is always in short supply is money. Money is always in short supply. So here we've got so many needs, as you stated, that if it does not even cover the other needs like security, like health, as you said. Right? But then, what is critical is that there's a fund which is dispersed every time to particular organization. So how will you, as a member of the board, ensure that you make the impact assessment of those funds?
The first thing is that at the office, the board office, there must be a health care at the office. There must be a health desk in Limpopo, a health desk in the Eastern Cape, so that you want the organization to go to the people. It will help those who complete forms who cannot fix this and that and that. You need to help those to reach people. Then you need in your own office to have people who go to actually look at the needs of the people and then advise on how they can get money from the organization. Obviously, what you need to guard against to make it free for all, you will have to put some guiding elements. Even the guidelines that this will be the requirement. We'll check at this and that and also check the records of people that may be dealing with. It is not a simple straight answer that you get, because it depends on one community to the other. But we need to say, these are our very set of values that we need. But we must be seen to be going out to people. We must be seen to be actually showing a face of transformation that will transform. I'm talking in terms of how we do the business. We must change the business model.
Barbara?
In our interaction, questions have been asked to provoke input from the first. Is there an area which you think could benefit this conversation? We have not been directed by the question, so that we are now invited.
How to make the organization to be closer to people. That's the challenge. I think we need to address that challenge. How to I'll give you an example. For example, if I would say there can be a need for the National Lottery Board to stage a conference of all the recipient organizations, you know, to say this is what we are doing, and for the board to say this is what we want, just to have not an alumni, there's a need to have a conference of these people, so you can hear from them, what your new people will be missing with them, how they expect that to come in, also the question on finance. Yes, ask some questions. But I thought issues of finance need to be discussed. The organization is well run, but you are sitting with money that is not reaching the cause. I think that challenge, I would suggest you people should have in mind and do that. And that's an expectation from the board that you need to grow. And then also the interim measure. Because you have got the legislation which is not making it possible to do certain things. What do we do in the hearing before there is an amendment? I think those are the issues that can be debated by the legislature. We have identified problems, and can be identified now. But what should happen now? Like, for example, I'm saying the minister appoints the D8, then you have got competition. You need to come up with a hearing measure. Make sure that they see themselves as one in terms of dealing with this issue, which is not the position right now. If you go to the D8 now and say, what do you see? They will give you a litany of condemnation. That this is this and this and this. You go to board members and say, this and this and this and this. So you need to believe that. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Nakota, I also have a couple of questions to just get a clearer understanding. We did have the CV quite clearly, thank you. But given that you have served on the board itself, and I have no doubt have a clear understanding, practical as well, of the, the CEO. And you mentioned just now that more recently there's been a CEO, Chief Operational Officer, appointed, that has certainly assisted matters. But you made greater reference to the technology, but I was just wondering, with this practical experience behind you and with you there on the board, the realistic targets, I mean, we've often seen targets and targets. I know you said, look, talk to the CEO and now we have this and that, but having been there, you've also expressed an opinion on the relationship and how better to build it between the VA and the NLB. Let's go back to the CEO and the performance agreement that would be signed. How would you actually once these realistic targets have been set, how would you measure it? Apart from simply knowing I'll buy a software X, can you just share with us how you would see this moving?
This is quite a difficult one. The job is, I don't want to make it more technical, it's the technical. We were the technical person there. At the time when we started, the emphasis was on IT. That was the emphasis. That's why you were an IT specialist. An IT engineer. Then, now it depends on if I'm an engineer, whether I understand the social aspects of my engineering. If I don't understand it, I call the manager on other areas. So really that's the issue. Now when you do the performance of that step, you do it more on the leadership. You look at the leadership qualities, say this and that. Now you make the IT a subject of that leadership. If I drop that, and there's no one who can do my job, what are you achieving? I would also put, what is the succession plan? Who is being trained? Because I now and then I look at it. If tomorrow something happens here, this thing is going to close. Because still got one man who understands the thing. But it should be the responsibility of that person to train others. To understand I don't believe that. Even if you're articulated, it is not there. And that's the problem. The lottery stands on one leg. You pray every evening that we should all be alive tomorrow. Because if something happens to us, then it's not possible. Take my statement very seriously. There must be a plan to say, so and so people have been saved. It's not there. And you need to ask that it should be there. There must be succession plan. So I would say it's leadership. But take what I'm telling you.
Another one then, you also indicated this aspect of, what was it, the help desk, meaning, you know, to assist the communities to access the funds and so on, having what I understood you to be saying, provincial help desks. But then you said, look, also that's not just the application, but able to assess the needs of the community, check the impact and so on, that would be done as it were from the head office, you know, by the board, I take it. The help desks were purely to assist in the actual application, from what I understand. If you could just share with us this issue of the NLD itself now, going out to the communities, assessing the impact, say before even assessing the impact, as you pointed out on several occasions, identifying the needs of the different communities in this regard.
The NLD should have either a research unit or you, some research unit, who now and then will give you a poverty line. Let's say you take the Serenichen area. Then you've got that information that there are these issues, there are problems. But if you don't have that, you are operating in darkness. You are relying on the word of mouth. You should be saying in the report of the NLD, you should have a section where it says a study has been done in this area, we found this and that and that. In KwaZulu-Natal, it's this and that and that. Now, if you a basis for information, and we don't have. Now, then you've got the help desk, which addresses the incapacity of our people. They can't fill the form. They don't know this and that. And so you need that. That information can come to the head office. But there must be a specific person who actually addresses those things to make sure that once you receive it, and then you respond. As earlier on said, Solana asked a question on the system, that you need to structure it. That when you receive it within so many days, it should be better. Because if you don't do that, we have got applications, right? One from Children of South, which the lady has been following that I've sent it, and the only last week said that we never received it. But she can prove that she sent it. But what is happening to those that that organization was helping when they do not have that person? Those are the issues.
Thank you very much, Mr. Rapporteur, for making yourself available. I know you just got back from overseas. I'm sure you are the nominee who has to the portfolio committee and making yourself available as a nominee. Certainly, Mr. Herman has been in touch and continues to keep in touch with you regarding the process and the progress of this the NLB, the establishment of a new board and so on, the membership thereof. So on behalf of the committee, thank you very, very much for being here with us this afternoon. And stay tuned.
Thank you very much, and good luck.
Then there's just a 1 minute comfort break and I'm back on track. Although I see there was fresh tea and coffee, am I correct? Perhaps let's turn that more into a 5 minute break.
Yeah.
I'm going Mark.
Oh.
I know. I followed him on the footsteps of my father.
It's a lot. A bottle with a bag. You don't just leave your
Yeah.